It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 60 years ago this month, a B-25 Mitchell bomber airplane crashed into the Monongahela River. Despite exhaustive search efforts, the bomber was never recovered. To this day, the ghost bomber remains one of Pittsburgh's most legendary unsolved mysteries. Here to talk about it with us is History Center President and CEO Andy Masick. Andy Masick, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be here.
You love this story, and Andy, we love unsolved mysteries here at Essential Pittsburgh. So take us through the details of the flight on that fateful night in 1956.
You know, it is one of Pittsburgh's most enduring mysteries, and it starts off in a pretty ordinary sort of way. Six guys at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada load up their B-25 Mitchell bomber, a medium bomber, and they set out on a routine training run. They're going to drop off some parts in Harrisburg at Olmsted Air Force Base. They make a couple of stops along the way. They decide when they get to Michigan that they don't want to refuel because someone goes out on the wing with a dipstick. That's how they checked the fuel gauges in those days. They put a wooden stick in and pulled it out, and it looked like they had enough fuel to keep going. It's only an hour and 40 minutes to Olmsted. They thought they could make this. They didn't want to wait in the fuel line because there were a number of other aircraft ahead of them. So they said, let's just keep on going. But when they got over Pittsburgh, just past Pittsburgh, nearing Johnstown, they looked at their gauges and there was just nothing in the tank. And Captain William Dotson turned that plane around, hoping to find Allegheny County Airport. He flies over the Monongahela River, following it, and then his engine starts sputtering to a stop. By the time about 4 p.m. on January 31st, 1956, Dotson's plane is out of gas and cruising silently over the Homestead High-Level Bridge. We call it the Homestead Grays Bridge today. And with his wheels up, Dotson does a perfect wheels-up landing in the Monongahela River, splashes in at about 4:12 p.m. on January 31st.
Kind of a Sully Sullenberger kind of survival move.
Very much a Sullenberger-type move. And in fact, all the crewmen, there are six men on board this plane, they all survive that belly landing in the Monongahela. But the temperature is about 28 degrees outside. The river is in flood stage, 3 or 4 feet higher than normal, and the current is moving swiftly. The plane floats for about 11 to 12 minutes. It kind of yaws and turns. The crewmen get out on the wings. Two of the men, Captain Ingram and Sergeant Susie, they're strong swimmers, so they think they see people on the shore now. People are coming out of their cars, stopping their trucks, and they're coming down to the riverbank saying, come over here, swim over here. And so these guys try to swim, but they're sucked under the strong current. By this time, police boats are out. J&L steel boats are out. The plane, it goes under the Glenwood Bridge. It's still floating toward the Jones and Laughlin works. And those boats rescue the other four crewmen. But the plane slips under the water and is never seen again.
So two are lost, four survive. Plane is gone. Very spooky. So what are some of the theories surrounding what happened to the bomber that have circulated over the years?
Well, let me tell you what happened later that day, because they immediately came out. The Coast Guard had a boat called the Forsythia, a cutter, and it dragged an anchor on a 2-inch thick rope over the place where the plane was last seen. And right before dark, that anchor hooked something and lifted out of the water a wingtip just ever so briefly. Then the anchor slipped off and the wing slipped under again. Well, they got another pass on it. They hooked it again, and the anchor line, a 2-inch anchor line, parted. It separated. They lost their anchor.
Hmm.
They came back. It's getting dark now. They've got an anchor on a steel cable. They break that anchor off, too, and they say, we'll find it tomorrow. We'll come back tomorrow. More boats come back tomorrow. A barge, a dredge called the Monella 3, used to scraping out the gravels of the bottom of the Monongahela River. It tried with its drag lines to find the B-25. No luck. Other boats, tow boats, tried it. Where is it? They can't find it. And they couldn't find the bodies of the two crewmen either. They were lost.
How deep is the water?
Well, the water then was probably 25 feet deep or so. And all kinds of boats plied those waters every day, barges and tow boats. The plane is probably 15 feet tall with its wheels up. And it's not an easy thing to lose a 15-foot plane and a 25-foot river, but they sure did it. And remember, this is in flood stage, so there's a lot of debris. There's some ice flows, but it's mostly trees and other stuff that's been scoured off the banks in flood stage. So they never found that plane. 2 or 3 months later, they found the bodies. One at Beck's Run, Sergeant Susie's body was up against the water intake there. And a little bit farther downstream, Captain Ingram's body was found. But that was late April or May. That's how long it took to find the bodies. So you can imagine, and that's with everyone looking for them. So losing a plane is not that hard to imagine.
Tell us about the B-25.
Well, the B-25 was America's medium bomber. It was the Mitchell bomber, the very one that Jimmy Doolittle flew off aircraft carriers to bomb Tokyo early during World War II when America was trying to show that it could strike back after Pearl Harbor. And a lot of people have seen B-25s in television and movies. Catch 22, one of the most popular movies about flyers during World War II, they used a dozen or so original B-25s in the making of that film.
Yeah, they couldn't CG it. They used real B-25s.
That's right.
And they had to be able to fly, and they came up with enough to show that off in the movie. And so this was a pretty amazing plane. Have experts attempted to locate and recover the plane wreckage in recent years?
Yeah. You know, in the 1950s, a local man named Evans got the salvage rights to the plane. The government stopped looking for it after a month or two because, remember, this is right after World War II. The United States has thousands of mothballed bombers. They don't need another bomber. And so they sold the salvage rights for $10.
Hmm.
And a seaplane operator living in Pittsburgh flew over the river day after day looking for this thing. He could never find it. In recent years, a group of men called the B-25 Recovery Group, interesting assortment of professionals. Some of them are geologists and watermen. Some of them are public relations people. And they all collected every scrap of information they could about the tragedy here in Pittsburgh, and decided that they could figure out where this thing was. And using side-scan sonar, underwater sonar equipment that made an image of the bottom of the river, and even doing some diving, that they could locate this. But time and again, and working with the History Center as well, they could not locate the B-25. And all kinds of conspiracy theories have come up since, well, how can you lose a plane in the middle of the river with dams along the river? I mean, where did it go?
So the conspiracy being that somebody might have fished it out of there and just for whatever reason didn't want it to be found.
When you talk to longtime Pittsburghers, some of them swear they not only saw the plane go in, but they saw the Army or some government agency pull it out at night with lights, with frogmen and flippers latching cables onto it and pulling it out and then cutting the wings off and putting it secretly on trucks and driving them in the middle of the night through Pittsburgh. Now, of course, no frogman with flippers is going to see anything in the muddy waters of the Monongahela. Any kind of salvage operation would have been done with heavy diving equipment with weighted suits. So I wouldn't believe any of those. Some people say that there were more than six men on board the B-25. In fact, there were 11 people treated at area hospitals that day. So maybe the Army's lying to us about the ship's manifest. But the B-25 recovery group has sorted out those false sightings. And it turns out that a lot of Pittsburghers rushed into the water trying to reach some of the downed flyers, and they were suffering from hypothermia in the freezing waters. And so they had to be treated at local hospitals, too. Others say, well, maybe there was a Soviet spy on board, and that's why the government doesn't want us to know how many people were on that plane and what happened to the plane. Others suggest that this plane came from Nellis Air Force Base. Well, that's right next to Area 51. Maybe there were aliens on board that were found in a downed flying saucer, and they were taking them to Washington, D.C. for dissection. Some say...
This sounds like something you could see on the X-Files.
Oh, this is so X-File, you wouldn't believe it. What about the Las Vegas showgirls that might have been traveling with these crewmen on an unauthorized run to... the East. Well, maybe that's why the government doesn't want us to know how many were on the ship's manifest.
Lots of questions. This will be my last question for you. Can visitors to the History Center see some of the research related to the B-25 plane?
The Detry Library and Archives at the Heinz History Center has a pretty extensive collection of material related to the B-25, and lots of people have helped us build this collection, including the guys from the B-25 recovery group who are still searching. They're not giving up easy, and they would still someday like to find it. I believe the B-25 is still down there, and I think in time we will find traces of it, though many believe that the corrosive waters of the Monongahela during Pittsburgh's industrial era may have eroded the thin aluminum skin of the ship. It's possible that the heavy landing gear and steel parts and engine blocks, they still have to be there. They're down there, perhaps in a depression left by an early gravel operation. They used to build ice breakers along the river to break up the ice sheets that would come down in the wintertime. And to make those ice breakers, you'd drive piles, like telephone poles, in a circle. And then you'd scoop out the river gravels and dump it inside these pilings. Well, a 40-foot deep a hole was made in the river right about where the B-25 was last seen. It's possible that the airship slipped into that trough, was silted over, and is still there today. And the rubble of the old icebreaker could have been what caused the anchor lines to separate as they were dragged over that obstruction. A B-25 isn't going to break a 2-inch thick hawser or anchor line or a steel cable, but concrete debris and old telephone poles and things piled into the bottom of the river, they might be able to do it. So we've got a theory, But time will tell.
Very interesting. As always, Andy Masick telling us about the Ghost Bomber, one of Pittsburgh's most legendary unsolved mysteries. Mr. Masick is the president and CEO of the Heinz History Center. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. My pleasure.
More Central Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.